Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt. Welcome to a very special edition of the Empire Podcast, the first one of 2026, folks. The year 2026, the year of our Lord, 2026 AD. There is no regular edition of the Empire Podcast this week because of the Christmas break. We would find it impossible, sadly, to get together in the studio. And we have our big live show, episode 700, coming up. I don't know, because this is going out. When's this going out? Jan 1st? Jan 2nd? Something like that? I don't know whether there are tickets still available for our show in 7 days.
Seven days.
On Jan 9th at King's Place, episode 700. But you might as well check the King's Place website, kingsplace.co.uk. Maybe Santa gave you some money for Christmas, and maybe you're flush with cash and you want to go to the ticket office and just throw a big fat stack of Benjamins down. Just start flipping money around and then buy some tickets to see us. There might be some tickets still available. Hopefully we've sold out by that point. I don't know. We're recording this in early December. What the fuck do I know? Anyway, we will not be able to get together in early January to record the first regular podcast of the year. So I thought, you know what? We're not going to go fallow for a couple of weeks, because then people will lose interest and forget about the Empire Podcast and start listening to something inferior like Pilot.
Wow. True.
Instead, we're going to bring them something we've never done before, which is a bespoke, dedicated preview podcast dedicated to the films of 26. And joining me to discuss those films of 26, two colleagues of such lethal cunning, James Dyer.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, James. How will your Christmas be?
I don't know.
You might as well. How will your Christmas have been?
My Christmas will have been great, and the New Year's Eve party that you will have thrown for me and Helen will also
around.
Have been fabulous.
I'm not around.
What?
I'm away.
New Year's Eve party that James will have thrown for me will
yeah.
be wonderful.
Oh, me well, and good. Helen are just going to have our own yeah. Christmas party.
All right, because Helen O'Hara is also here. Hello, Helen.
Hello.
How was your New Year's? How was it? How is it?
Everything is wonderful.
What is it?
Everything is awesome.
That was years ago, Helen.
I know. Well, I'm very up to the minute.
This is a preview, not a review. We are looking ahead to the films of 26, looking back.
I believe it's going to come back.
All right. Okay. Well, let's get into it, shall we? Let's talk about one of the films of 26 that I am most excited about, and that is, of course, Buster Keaton's The General. Are you excited about this? Because it's either that, or there's F.W. Murnau's Faust, of course, or there's The Scarlet Letter that's 1926. Yes, no, that was just my little joke there, folks. That's why I kept saying 26.
Yeah, it was very funny.
It was. And you were like, oh, Chris, stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we often are like, oh, Chris, stop it.
In fact, I was mouthing stop it to you all the way through that quote-unquote joke. So, yeah.
It played well.
It did play well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will have played well.
I liked the stony silence with which it was met.
You just heard the faint jingle of Helen's jumper, for she is dressed, as she herself said, like Disco King Kong, which is a good look.
Yeah, it's a very shaggy black jumper, but it has sequins among its hair. Look, it's very warm and cozy, and I feel good. So,
like James Brown.
Indeed.
Anyway, shall we get into it with the films of 2026?
Yes.
Hurrah.
Okay. Oh, I was prepared for it not to work, but I was not prepared for it to work as badly as it did. I mean, it really didn't go down well.
I mean,
the only thing that provides me succor at this point in time is the knowledge that all over the country, people will be listening to this and laughing heartily at that bit.
They'll
be going,
ho,
oh my
ho,
God,
ho.
He said the films of 26 and he was talking about 1926 the whole time.
Yeah.
And he started talking about Buster Keaton's General and it was hilarious. Mom, get in here. You got to listen to this bit of the podcast. And then they rewind and they play it again. And
yeah, except it's 2026 and people are now watching AI-created Buster Keaton exclusively on Netflix, who own everything. So, hooray!
We are available to be owned by Netflix, by the way. You know, I have very little integrity. If they wish to come and make an offer for the Empire Podcast, I will start the bidding so low, Ted, you will not believe where I'm going to start the bidding. But by all means, come in. Rescue us from this torment. Anyway, 2026 is shaping up to be a great year, don't you think?
It is. Yeah. It is shaping up to be a very good year.
A very good year. Mm. Yeah. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to go through this month by month. I think that's a good way to do it, right?
Okay.
I mean, yep. It's traditional.
It's traditional. And we should probably start with January.
Janvier.
Yes. Janvier, as they say in France and...
Enero in Spain.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Italy?
Gennaio.
Okay.
Took me a minute.
It's not going that well, is it, the old Italian?
Look, they keep teaching me the same weird, creepy phrases over and over again.
I saw you playing Duolingo the other day, and there was a phrase, there are two people standing over the dead body.
Yes, two men stood around the body.
Yes.
Why would I need to know that?
Well, I don't know. Why would you need to know that indeed? But anyway, none of this is talking about the films of 2026 and the films we're excited about over the next 12 months or so. Let's start off with January. I'm going to look at the release schedules for both UK and America because they don't always align.
No.
They don't always align.
Do we have to go chronologically within January or can I just pick a film?
Pick a
in
film.
January? All right, I'm going to pick a film that I'm excited about, although probably ill-advisedly. And that is Christoph Gans' return to the town of Silent Hill for the imaginatively titled Return to Silent Hill, which comes out at the end of January.
Mm, what happens in that? Do they
this
go
This is the
somewhere?
Adaptation, as I understand it, of Silent Hill 2, the best Silent Hill game, and in from many people's opinion, best one of the best video games ever made.
And what happens in that?
Do they go back to Silent Hill?
Kind of, yes.
Oh.
I mean, yes, that's literally what happens, but there's more to it than that. So Jeremy Irvine is starring as the main character, James Sunderland. And I won't give you
Sunderland
too much of the plot, but basically he goes to Silent Hill because that is a place where he and his wife Mary had gone on holiday once and he'd always promised to take her back there. Why? Given that it's full of creepy monsters? I don't fucking know.
Presumably,
but, you know,
it wasn't full of creepy monsters,
I mean, perhaps,
when they went on holiday.
Or maybe they've just got a weird marriage. It's really hard to say. But
don't
anyway,
king shame.
He's gone back to Silent Hill. Now, the reason is he's received a letter from Mary sort of inviting him to meet her there. Of course, the wrinkle is...
She's dead!
She's been dead for several years! So... therein lies the whole thing. Cue lots of twisted, distorted imagery of crazy nurses and monsters vomiting goo everywhere.
This makes you sound like Joey from Friends, that you're extremely excited by that plot twist.
Yes!
She's been dead!
She's been dead
years.
For years! Now, the thing to understand about...
It's a different horror series.
It's true, and that's scary, which this isn't. But so Christoph Gans did Silent Hill. Now, Silent Hill, the first film... it's actually, in some ways, a really good adaptation of Silent Hill. It gets the music right, it gets the atmosphere, the visuals right, the monster design is right, but it's not frightening on any level, and the game is terrifying. Now, this game, which I have recently been playing again because it was remade and it still holds up, it's fantastic, is absolutely shit-your-pants terrifying. But the trailer really doesn't look like they've captured that aspect of it. So I suspect this is going to be a noble failure.
So this is
but I want to see it.
This is a film that you have chosen as the film I'm most excited about in January.
Well, a film I
and
am excited
you immediately
about.
Go, it's not going to be that good. Yeah. At best, a noble failure.
Yeah.
Thanks, James.
I said ill-advisedly.
Yes.
He did, yeah.
I guess you did. There are so many films you could have chosen, though, from January that you were looking forward to.
Go on, then. Find me a replacement.
Okay. Hell's bells.
Can I round up the Oscar contenders in January, the awards contenders.
We've already talked about Return to Silent Hill.
we did do that one. And then I have one horror that I've actually already seen that I want to mention. Yeah, but January is a big awardsy film month. So we start strong. Song Sung Blue, which is
easy for you to say.
Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman as Neil Diamond, a Neil Diamond tribute act, basically a married Neil Diamond tribute act who had a bit of success.
He's Neil, she's Diamond.
In the late 80s, early 90s. Some crazy stuff happened in their lives. This is basically based on the documentary about them. I can't tell you the plot twists and turns in this movie because you wouldn't believe it. And if it wasn't a real story, they wouldn't have dared make it up because it would just be too weird. But that's pretty good. You've also got my beloved Hamnet on the 9th.
The Mild Cigar.
Just incredibly great. Absolutely love it film. Chloe Zhao, Paul Mescal and Jesse Buckley just on stonking form.
Stonking
Absolutely
form.
Love it. Rental Family is Brendan Fraser in Japan being completely charming. That's really, really good. On the 16th, we've got No Other Choice on the 23rd.
And we do, Helen. We could choose not to see it, but we shouldn't.
You shouldn't, because it's kind of Kind Hearts and Coronets in South Korea.
But it's also
the new Park Chan-wook. So, yes. Like, many, many reasons to see that. History of Sound, really lovely. Second Paul Mescal film of the month. Is This Thing On?
Yes.
Which I'm really excited to see. I think you've seen, Chris.
I have. Yeah, it's terrific. Bradley Cooper's third movie as director. And this is a loose adaptation of the true life story of John Bishop, the Scouse comedian, who is huge over here. And his origin story is wild. He was in the midst of separating from his wife, and he had no thoughts of ever being a stand-up comedian. And he went to a stand-up comedy club. He was just in a funk. And to avoid paying the entrance fee, he signed up to go on as an open mic act just so he could get in, and didn't really think anything of it. And then obviously they go, "You're on, mate. You're on in 2 minutes' time." And he had nothing prepared, no jokes or anything. And he got up on stage and just started talking about his life and going through a divorce. And he's a naturally funny guy. And one thing led to another, and now he's one of the biggest comedians on the planet. And Will Arnett has co-written this and is starring in this adaptation of his life, which isn't about the John Bishop story because it's a completely different character and set in New York and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of stuff that happened in this movie, you were talking about Song Song Blue, things that if you were writing it in a script and someone went, "That's bullshit. That's nonsense. I have real problems with that." And you
that
go,
would
that,
never
I,
happen.
That literally happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's really good. I think it's terrific. And,
Yeah. And then sort of rounding out the big awards contenders that month, I think, is Nouvelle Vague, which is the second Richard Linklater artist sort of biopic is the wrong word, but like artist exploration of this few months after Blue Moon. This mm-hmm. is about Jean-Luc Godard making Breathless, Au Bout du Souffle, and stars Zoe Deutsch as Jean Seberg, and it's fan-frickin-tastic.
Fan-frickin-tastic.
That's
man.
Really worth looking out for. The horror I want to mention is Primate, which is about a sort of pet chimpanzee who lives with a family that used to research him,
yep.
And he gets rabies and starts attacking a whole bunch of people
in the hell, man.
Some very, very unpleasant ways.
Yes, and that's from the director of the previous Resident Evil movie, Johannes Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten that.
So I don't know if that's a recommendation or not, but there you go. There's a horror film I'd like to point out. Nobody needs to have this film flagged up for them because you should know about this movie. You should be excited about this movie. You should be making plans to go see this movie. It is 28 years later, Le Bon Temple, which is a sequel to, of course, 28 years later, coming out exactly, I think, pretty much. I thought they've just moved the release date. They've just brought it forward. So it's now on the Wednesday, January 14th, instead of the 16th. Mm-hmm. But it is 28 weeks after Danny Boyle's 28 Years Later.
Nice.
Which was one of my favorite films of this year that we're in right now, 2025. And someone I know has seen it and has signed a terrifying NDA, but might be nodding vigorously about it right now. So that's a good thing, I'm guessing.
Mm.
I don't know who that is,
a massive bone temple.
It did. So this is Ray Fiennes as the good doctor, Dr. Kelson, who we saw in the previous movie, and we get to see a little bit more of Jack O'Connell as Lord Sir Jimmy Crystal, the potentially evil villain that we saw at the end of the last movie. And obviously there's Infected in there as well, and Samson returns, the Alpha, and young Alfie Williams returns as Spike, and there's lots of stuff going on. It's a bit more conventional, I'm guessing. It's a bit more conventional. Hang on, I've just got to text my friend. Yes, he says it's a bit more conventional as a movie in terms of its presentation than 28 Years Later, which was very experimental. But he's just texted again going, yes, but it also packs a punch, emotionally so as well. I'll just text him back. Yep, okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
Phew. I think that.
Good job. You're connected there, Chris.
Crack that code. So, yeah, January shaping up to be a really good month.
Although we should say Helen has covered most of the awards nominees for January, but has missed out one glaring shoo-in, which is, of course, Greenland 2 Migration.
But it's not out over here.
Is it not out?
Unless it's one of those ones that like just shows up in Prime Video without warning.
Yeah, so it's out in the US. I am still actually hoping that it's going to turn up somewhere in January. It'll be released in Greenland. Because I want to see what happened to the Garrity family when the world ended and they went to live in a bunker in Greenland.
Yes, the trailer for this is not promising, but fingers crossed.
You say that, but maybe I just have a certain warmth towards that film. Because
I love that film.
Well, I love it, but also it was a pandemic film, and I remember we watched it.
Oh, do you remember the pandemic? That was fun.
Oh, it was good, wasn't it? But it was just like, I don't know, we all felt like we were locked in a bunker in Greenland, so it was nice.
And I think it was one of those films that massively benefited from the fact that all we'd watched for 6 months was thoughtful dramas made for 50p, because that was the only thing that was being released.
No, I genuinely love its depiction.
Something comes along with an explosion in, and we're like, thank God.
It wasn't the explosion. For me, I love the depiction of
it. Was the human
It's a very
explosion.
Realistic yeah. approach to the end of the world, and the first 30 minutes of that movie is my favorite 30 minutes of that movie. Everything else is still fine. But yeah, it's the kind of the creeping dread as Jerry Butler begins to realize that, something's not right here, which is great. But yeah, hopefully that's going to come out. It's out the same month, actually. Rick Roman Waugh, the director for that film, and that may be the first time I've ever successfully pronounced his name at the first attempt.
Well done.
He also has another film out called Shelter, which is a Jason Statham film. And if you want to know what that's about, see every other Jason Statham film previously. There's one other film in January I want to mention. We're not going to do this. We're not going to mention every film is out in every single month, although as the year goes on, the number of films that are scheduled will dwindle. And January and February are pretty locked in at the moment. Saipan, which is a film that's very interesting, I think, to a very, very small core of people. But hopefully it's going to be really, really great. It's from Glenn Leyburn and Lisa Barros de Sa, who are great Northern Irish filmmakers. So stick it up them. Well done. Wee buns. Wee buns, Helen. And this is about the confrontation between Roy Keane, the legendary footballer Roy Keane, and Mick McCarthy, the manager, who was then the manager of the Republic of Ireland, at the World Cup in Japan and South Korea in 2002. Roy Keane was the captain of the Republic of Ireland. He was their best player by far. He was the figurehead, the linchpin. Everything revolved around him. He walked out on their World Cup campaign after having told Mick McCarthy famously to stick it up your bollocks.
I
also have logistical questions. Mick McCarthy is a dour Yorkshireman. Roy Keane is a tempestuous Cork man. He's from Cork. He's not made of Cork. And the two of them were, like chalk and cheese, oil and candles. I don't know.
Oil and candles are similar.
Oil and candles.
Substances.
Damn it. Yeah. What's the thing? Oil and water.
Water.
Oil and water. Candle and
the
water.
Wind.
Yes, candle.
Lots
and the
of things
wind.
In water. And so that's hopefully going to be good. Steve Coogan is Mick McCarthy. Aina Hardwick is Roy Keane. And could be good.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
You know how much I love football.
Yes, me too. I'm a big fan of the football.
But no, human drama and such.
Oh yeah, I love it. Yeah. Speaking of human drama, we should also mention The Rip is also, I believe, January, which is the big Netflix film. I would say the big Netflix film
Matt
of next year.
Matt and Ben.
This is, of course, Joe Carnahan's film, and it stars Matt and Ben as two cops who raid a drugs house and find a stash of millions and millions of dollars that apparently Netflix were using to buy Warner Brothers, and they have to decide whether or not to turn it in or to spend it on a large studio.
Looking forward to that one.
Well, are we into February?
I think we're into February.
I guess we're into February. Now, there's a film you must be excited about in February. A certain Sam Raimi has a film out in February.
Possessed Goat Boy.
That's right.
My beloved Possessed Goat Boy, Sam Raimi. He's back with his first film since Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And this is Send Help. And this looks terrific. And this is about Rachel McAdams, who is a put-upon worker whose dickhead boss is Dylan O'Brien. And he's about to fire her And wouldn't you know it, they're on a plane.
Yep.
Their plane crashes.
Goes full Castaway.
Desert island. And the tables begin to turn.
Yes. There isn't a volleyball in sight.
No. There isn't a volleyball in sight, indeed. This, I am hoping, is great. I have had the good fortune of speaking to Sam Raimi and Dylan O'Brien and Rachel McAdams about this movie, and I haven't seen it yet, nor has my friend. Text has remained very, very quiet, but I'm really, really hopeful that this is going to be wild and unpredictable, and I'm guessing
one of the 15 best films of all time, right?
Obviously, just immediately one of the joint best films of all time, but I'm hoping that we have in Rachel McAdams, Linda Little, which is her name, we're going to have a great horror icon.
Mm.
Now, whether that's a villainous icon or a heroic icon or maybe somewhere betwixt the two, I don't know. But I'm expecting big things from the lady who has delivered the greatest line reading of all time.
Oh, no, he died.
Yeah. So that's good.
That is.
That's good. Yeah,
very excited about that.
Well done, Sam Raimi.
We think.
Well, we assume.
I have genuinely haven't seen it.
We assume.
Yes. We guess. It might be.
Yes.
We'll see.
That's the film I'm probably most excited about in February. There are a couple of other films I am also excited about, but it's not my turn to talk. It's someone else's turn to talk. Helen, let's go with you this time.
Can I do another awards roundup?
Do it.
Go on then.
100 Nights of Hero, which closed the LFF this year. That is it's probably not going to win Oscars, let's be honest, but it's a fun, weird little fantasy, which is really fun.
I want Oscar winners only. I want things that are going to be in contention for Oscar winners.
Well, there's also the directorial debut of Kristen Stewart. That's interesting. Chronology of Water, that's coming out.
That's the name of this movie.
Yes.
It feels like they put it into an art house movie name generator. The Chronology of Water
is a thing that is coming out. The Secret Agent, fantastic Brazilian film, is out on February 20th. Highly recommend that. It's about toxic regimes, basically, and the scars that they leave behind. The Testament of Anne Lee, about the founder of the Quaker movement.
Cereal bars, like it. Porridge, also a big fan.
Well, I mean, they are related, actually, but this is really Amanda Seyfried's film talking about the titular Anne Lee. So I'm
Anne
excited
Lee.
For her.
Excelsior!
Another contender for Best Actress is If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, which I can identify with as a feeling right now. And that is Rose Byrne.
But you do have legs.
I do.
You could kick me.
I can't reach
and
you.
And should.
Probably, yes. But this is about a mother who's basically on her own while her husband is away working, trying to look after a sick daughter and deal with a million other crises and very much being pushed past the point of breaking. Fantastic Rose Byrne performance.
Relaxing film, then.
Not relaxing in the slightest, but very funny at times. Really, really funny. And also a great supporting term from ASAP Rocky. He might be ASAP Rocky.
I think he's ASAP Rocky.
That may be the most English you've ever sounded.
I'm really not.
ASAP Rocky. Love him.
Yes. Anyway.
Popular beat combo.
And finally, Sirat, which is an extraordinary sort of mid-apocalyptic film. A man and his son who go to a rave in the desert looking for his daughter, the little boy's sister, who's just gone. And the world may or may not be ending. It's a kind of weirdly, slightly nihilistic look at life.
Sounds like you've got a friend who's seen this.
I've literally seen it. It's really, really good. It's a very beautiful film.
All right.
So yeah, highly recommend that. And then I don't know if it's an awards contender, but Emerald Fennell's Wuthering Heights with Jacob Elordi and Margot Robbie is out in February. And that's going to get literary Twitter or whatever's left of it. Absolutely up in arms.
Twitter-ary.
It already is.
Mm. Also, wall-to-wall bangers, figuratively and literally.
I believe so, yes. So it's going to be an exciting one. Think bodice ripper more than corset story.
Yeah.
But should be
Will there be any Bush? Kate Bush?
Mainly Charlie XCX, but you never
know. Yes, mostly Charlie XCX. In her second appearance of the month after 100 Nights of Hero. Crazy.
Good stuff. Yes. Are you excited about that movie or are you just mentioning films?
I am excited for the conversation. I am hopeful for the movie.
Yeah.
They're really good people. Do you know what I mean? Margot Robbie, Jacob Elordi. You've got Kid from Adolescence, Owen Cooper, fantastic actors. That's a great, great cast. Emerald Fennell can do extraordinary things. I don't think it's going to be satisfying to fans of the book.
Are you a Bronte purist?
No, I'm not a Bronte girl, really. I think, you know, when you have to make that choice as a 12-year-old girl, I went Austen instead of Bronte.
Fair.
But at the same time, you know, I want the Bronteites to be happy. I don't wish them harm. Yeah. So I hope they will enjoy this.
I had the same thing. I had to choose between Stephen King and Dean R. Kuntz at a certain age as well. I mean, King or Kuntz?
It's a very similar, very similar choice.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went King.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that Dean R. Kuntz is crap.
Yeah.
James.
Hello.
Okay. Well, are you looking forward to anything in... is there anything left in February?
Is there anything left in February?
That you're excited about? Can I interest you in Whistle?
Yeah, sure. You know how to whistle, don't you?
Yeah. You just cast Daphne Keane and get Karen Hardy to direct it. Then you release it in the cinemas. This is the high school horror directed by Karen Hardy, who is a friend of the show, in which a bunch of high school kids discover an Aztec death whistle, which if you blow it... whoever hears its piercing shriek will die a horrible death.
Do you know what? You could combine that with like a football film and make it really interesting.
When the referee blows his whistle,
half time, everyone just explodes.
Well, that often happens. That does often happen. I'm excited about that, but are you? It's also about Friday the 13th.
Which augurs well for a horror film.
It does augur well for a horror film. Yeah, very good. But is there anything that you are excited about in February, or should we move on to March? You don't have to pretend. You don't have to feign interest in any of these movies.
I don't know. Is The Sheep Detectives out in the UK in February?
The Sheep Detectives?
The Sheep Detectives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the Hugh Jackman one, or is this a different one?
Yes, it's the Hugh Jackman one, where he reads crime stories to his flock. Literal flock of sheep. And then when he goes to bed, the sheep discuss it. So it's like the Thursday Murder Club, if instead of older people, it was sheep.
Oh, so it's had a name change.
What was it called before?
I think it was called something like Three Bags Full, a Sheep Detective Mystery.
Oh, good. That's
and
better.
The idea is that Jackman carks it. And
he and gets, they have to he, solve,
and
his
they solve his murder. They try and solve his murder.
I mean, this
sort
is
of
genius.
Manoir Blanc kind of way. You know?
How do they communicate the results of their research? Can they talk?
I don't know. It's a bit
people?
Woolly to me.
They might be able to knit.
They'll knit the pieces together.
Oh, boy.
Bastards.
Right, enough milking this. Jeez.
Hey, sheep's milk. That's exciting. That's good. I think Lord Miller are producers on that. So, you know, it's going to be weird and good. anyone interested in Scream 7?
Do you know what?
I mean, I'll see it.
I mean, I might not. I've not seen the last two Screams. I have fallen off the Scream wagon.
What?
Yeah, genuinely.
Skip 5, go to 6.
Well, that's an option.
If you skip 5, you don't get to see what happens to my boy.
Oh, that's true. You should probably watch 5 though, just so you understand 6 better.
But this is the whole thing. Like, I stopped. We had a Screamathon one evening, and we to prepare for the new Scream film. We never got to the end of the ones we were going to watch, and I just never watched another Scream film. So I blame you in many ways.
Oh, okay. So that's your New Year's plans then, when he's away,
to catch up on all the Scream films.
Brilliant.
The trailer for this does look quite fun though. Sydney's back
and front.
Yes.
Oh boy,
it's stabby stabby fun times.
Yes, but hopefully not for Sydney's back, or indeed front. Hopefully Sydney won't get stabbed.
No.
Yes, no stabbing of Sydney.
In fact, I hope nobody gets stabbed.
I mean, that would make for an unconventional Scream film.
It would be bold.
Holistic ghost face.
He gives them a gentle massage.
Yeah, maybe like acupuncture. That's the only stabbing I want.
Wow.
In this. Let's move into March, shall we? Jimbo, what excites you about March?
Well, we could start...
Project Hail Mary!
I mean, yes, that wasn't where I was going to land,
Jimbo,
but sure.
You said that without moving your lips.
I know, and I sounded a lot like Helen.
A lot like Helen. Mm. I mean, you've really been working on that impression.
I have.
when he first started, it was offensive, Helen.
Yeah.
It really was.
But it's now pretty organic.
Do it again. Okay, so Jimbo, what are you excited about in March?
Project Hail Mary.
The nuance.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
It's so good.
AI can't do that shit.
All right, Helen, I'm going to ask you what you're excited about in March. Helen?
Well, I'm excited about the Avatar of Beavers film, Hoppers.
Holy shit. Okay. So are you actually more excited about that movie than you are Project Hail Mary?
No, I'm actually not. Project Hail Mary is the correct answer to this, but I just want to have a very brief shout out for Hoppers, which is out in March. This is Daniel Chong's film, voice acting by, among others, John Hamm and well, let's just stay with John Hamm. But
James has failed to Google it.
Yeah. Let's stay with John Hamm because I don't know who else does the voices. But suffice to say, the reason why this appeals to me, because I was watching the trailer and it essentially is a young girl who in this case is voiced by Piper Curda.
Not John Hamm.
Although he's very versatile, he could do it. I mean, frankly, at this point, I could do it because I'm getting very good at this. But but the idea is to go to understand more about the animal kingdom. She uses an avatar-type device to transfer her consciousness into a robotic beaver body. So it is Avatar with beavers. It is Beaver Avatar, and it looks absolutely
deranged. Hundreds of beavers?
There are hundreds of beavers.
Yeah, when you say Avatar with beavers, a very different film has popped into my head.
Well, it's that film.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Hoppers, then.
And just to be clear, just to be absolutely 100% clear, yes. This is a Pixar movie?
It is a Pixar movie.
Called Hoppers.
Called Hoppers.
But it's not a sequel to A Bug's Life.
No.
In which Kevin Spacey's character, Hopper, is brought back and cloned in a sort of multiplicity style.
Yeah.
This isn't Kevin Spacey's big comeback vehicle, is what I'm saying.
No, and nor is it canonically connected to the Avatar films.
Okay, right. And just to be clear, there's a Sri Lankan sort of pancake called a Hopper. They're delicious. They sort of put an egg at the bottom. They sort of serve them in a bowl shape. You can get them for breakfast. They're really, really good. Are those going to be served at the screening?
We can but hope. Let's go back to Project Hail Mary, which is the most exciting film of that month. Helen, have you read the book?
I have.
This is Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian.
Correct.
Yes. We're advising people not to watch the trailer because of spoilers.
We are.
I will say that the...
We had pushback on that.
The directors of this movie...
Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Not only do not consider that a spoiler. That is the heart of the movie for them.
They are building
their campaign around the thing that you guys think is a spoiler.
And it's very prominent in the trailer. I guess it's just in the book. It's more of a revelation.
Yeah, I would say it's like end of first act at the earliest.
So are we going to say what it is, given that they are? Are we giving people warning? How are we going to handle this?
I guess, yeah.
There's a big piece in Empire coming up about it in about a week's time. Yeah. Okay. So I would say, yep.
Right, okay. So there are beavers in it, little robotic beavers. And there's Ryan Gosling transfers his consciousness into...
Consciousness.
So what happens is Ryan Gosling is sent on this mission into space to basically save the world. It is a Hail Mary... A pass. It is a desperate attempt.
Which is an American football term.
It's an American
and
football
term. And also, it's full of grace because the character he plays is called Grace.
There we go. See, so many levels.
Holy shit.
So many levels. So he sets off on this mission to save the world and has to, figure out how to save us all. No pressure. And okay, here's the bit that we consider a mild spoiler.
Yeah.
He meets an alien in the same position, also trying to save his own world from the same problem and essentially doing the same research. And they have to work together to find a way through the whole thing.
And the alien's called Rocky.
He calls the alien Rocky, yes. Yeah. And I'm super hyped for this. This is Ryan Gosling is on sort of charming but slightly weird form.
Mm.
I mean, if you consider The Martian, but this time he has a buddy, I mean, I'm there. Do you know what I mean? I don't need much more than that to be happy with the film.
It's a really good trailer. It looks really fun. And I'm enjoying Ryan Gosling's new sort of space oeuvre.
Yay.
All right. Yes. That's, I think, also the theatrical release movie that I'm looking forward to most in March. I'm not au fait at this point in time, I will say, with the release schedules of Apple TV and Prime Video and Netflix over the next year or so. Yeah. So we may be leaving out some big heavy hitters in terms of streaming giants.
Mm.
And pretty soon everything will be on streaming, right? Pretty soon they're going to buy everything. But we're going to stick at the moment to movies released in cinemas right now, unless there is something huge that's that is a Netflix and an Amazon movie that is absolutely unavoidable. In theatrically, this film looks terrific. This is Lord and Miller's first movie as directors since 22 Jump Street.
Wow, it's been a while.
Whoa, that's too long.
It's been a while.
I'm appalled. I say.
Obviously, they did go down the route of Solo.
Yeah.
And then that route was swiftly curtailed for them. And they threw themselves at the Spider-Verse movies. And now they are directing this. And it looks terrific. So yeah. I'm excited.
You know who else is directing in March?
Who's that?
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes. Maggie Gyllenhaal.
For The Bride is coming out, which is a kind of a remake of The Bride of Frankenstein, isn't it? And it's...
inspired by, yeah.
Yes, the tagline, "Here comes the motherfucking bride," obviously appealed to me. But this stars Christian Bale, Jessie Buckley as the bride herself, Jake Gyllenhaal, yes. Unclear how she managed to get him to take part, Peter Sarsgaard's in it, Annette Bening, Penelope Cruz.
How did she get Peter Sarsgaard to do it?
And yeah, I guess it's that storyline through a very distinctly female lens, and it's a murdered young woman in 1930s Chicago, and she is raised from the dead as an animated corpse at the hands of Christian Bale's Dr. Frankenstein. He's not a doctor.
He's the creature.
Well, yes, he is, isn't he? Yeah, because he's a monster himself. Mm. But is he also a doctor?
I believe Annette Bening does the actual raising on his behalf.
If he's not a doctor, he's really not qualified to do that, you know. No, he wouldn't have a license. So.
Some would say many doctors aren't qualified to do that either. With it being, you know, the whole point about playing God, you know, the whole Frankenstein thing, you know, very much the core of all of the stories.
Well, I know they take the Hippocratic Oath, which is obviously first do no harm, but what if harm has already been done? Doctor, but if harm has been done, then is the second part of the Hippocratic Oath, second refers to harm, which means you resurrect people from the dead.
Yeah.
I
think we found a loophole.
I don't think that's how that works.
Okay.
You're not excited about the James Cameron film in March?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm excited about it.
Because you're not sure about Billie Eilish? This is the Billie Eilish concert.
I know what it is.
I'm telling the listeners.
Right. I'm a James Cameron completionist. Completist?
I would say completist. You've said completionist several times on the podcast recently.
I do have a tendency to make up words, so just have to bear that in
mind. I'm sure it's a word.
Yeah.
All right. It may not be the right word.
We'll go with a universalist.
Okay.
But either way, I don't have anything against Billie Eilish, but I'm not sure I would necessarily watch a concert film of hers. But
are you not intrigued to go and see it?
I am genuinely intrigued because she has co-directed this with James Cameron. Mm. And he has apparently found time to do this while spending a lot of his time either in New Zealand or on Pandora. It's a curiosity for me rather than something I'm excited about.
Co-direct, in air quotes. I'm sure they had a Zoom call at some point. Anyway. I am going to switch up the format, folks. We're going to go into April. I'm going to very quickly read out some titles, and then you tell me what you like from those titles.
Okay, all right.
The Super Mario Galaxy movie. Oh, Jesus. Fuse, a new film from David McKenzie with Aaron Taylor-Johnson. It's interestingly spelled. Ready or Not, I refuse to say Ready or Not 2. Ready or Not, Here I Come, which should be the title of this movie. It makes sense. Oh, my God.
Yes, excited for this one.
California Scheming, James McAvoy's directorial debut, Lee Cronin's follow-up to Evil Dead Rise, it's The Mummy. Yeah. Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
Okay, yeah.
And then, of course, the film that everyone's looking forward to, Antoine Fuqua's Michael Jackson biopic, Michael.
Well, we know for a fact it'll be bad.
But will it be a thriller?
Hey.
Who knows?
It might be off the wall.
Could be dangerous.
Could be a smooth criminal. I don't know.
Helen, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Helen?
ABC. I don't know about that one. I've heard that the entire third act had to be rewritten, and let's hope they did a good job of it. I've also heard great things about Rose of Nevada that month. I think that's one to look out for on the smaller end.
Oh, Mark Jenkins' new film.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
So that's more at the art house end of the spectrum, perhaps.
But are you excited about any of the films I said?
Lee Cronin's The Mummy. I mean, you know, I actually don't want my mummy films to be anything other than,
want my mummy.
Okay. No, but I want, like, you know, just Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz in my mummy films. That's actually what I want. I don't necessarily need them to be terrifying.
Right.
But still, that's an interesting proposition.
Not boring, you know? I'd settle for.
Sure, that's also nice to have, yeah.
I want terrifying mummy.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello again, Mrs. O'Hara.
Oh, wow.
And, lovely lady. Lovely. I want a scary mummy film before they do the rollicking adventure mummy film in like next year with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz. But that's probably the film I'm looking forward to most. Lee Cronin is a really, really, really talented horror director. But as are Tyler Gillette and Matt Bettinelli-Ulpin, better known as Radio Silence, and Ready or Not was such a scream, as were their Scream movies, that I am looking forward to very much. Ready or Not to Here I Come.
Yeah, happy days.
With added Catherine Newton, added Sarah Michelle Gellar, added David Cronenberg, and a whole lot of bloodletting. Just maybe avoid the trailer is all I would say on that one. Jimbo, is there anything here that is floating your boat, wetting your whistle?
That we haven't already discussed?
Or that I've just... I'm mentioning films.
I don't listen to the things you say.
Oh, my God.
I'm curious about Michael, to be honest with you.
You're my curious.
I am my curious. I've not seen the stage play. Have you seen the stage production? No. Neither, right. But I've heard good things about it.
Is that this is based on? Or is this just like a more of original riff on his life?
Isn't this more
life?
Of a filmography, I thought?
This is Graham King, who produced Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm. And despite that, it's still making films. Well, it made nearly a billion and won many, many Oscars, despite being unspeakably terrible. But... he's trying to hit the same formula again with this.
He does have an amazing cast for this.
He does.
He has a great, great cast.
And Antoine Fuqua.
Yeah, good people.
I'm annoyed that this isn't the Equalizer 4. Why is he not making more Equalizer movies? He should be making exclusively Equalizer movies.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But there we go. Listen, in April in the States, but not over here, is the remake of Cliffhanger.
Mm. Really?
Mm. Okay, but I don't know why I'm having flashbacks to the remake of Point Break, but suddenly I am.
I am too.
Erickson Kaur's remake of Point Break. You put some respect in his goddamn name.
I will not.
Had a cast, quite frankly, filled with nobodies.
Yeah.
And looked rubbish.
Whereas Cliffhanger...
Lily James. Mm-hmm. Pierce Brosnan. Mm-hmm. Directed by Jaume Collet-Serra.
Okay, I mean, these are all good
filming
people.
Filming in real mountains.
I mean...
I'm excited.
Are there many fake mountains?
There are loads of fake mountains.
Okay.
You know, it's Hollywood. Lily James learned to climb upside down for this.
Well, she's doing it wrong. That's not how you climb.
I'm excited about this. This could be great.
Okay.
The first one, of course, is an unimpeachable classic.
It is. Accurate.
Is it? I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully it's Studio Canal, so hopefully it'll be added soon to the schedules. I'm about to click on May. It's probably in there and I've just wasted a slot, but Cliffhanger is coming out in April in the States. All right, we're into May 2026. I'm going to read out some
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
the films include The Devil Wears Prada 2. Woo! The Sheep Detectives, James.
Oh, is that? It's that's May.
It's May.
It's later here in the UK.
Mortal Kombat 2.
Mortal Kombat.
Are you going to do that very fast?
I might do, actually. Is the sequel to the one that came out during the pandemic.
It was
another one of our pandemic reviews.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was genuinely a lot of fun.
It was solid. It really was.
Calm down. It was the pandemic. It was fine.
I said solid.
Yeah, I mean,
I was calm.
I said a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun.
Mm. I mean, sure. It was fine.
Okay. Oh. All right.
It was a lot better than it had any right to be. I'm still not sure it warranted a belated sequel.
Okay.
But Carl Urban disagrees with me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yes. Carl Urban.
Urban, we trust.
Yes. He did the great big sack of cash that they drove up to his house also disagrees with you.
Look,
he
is the geek king. He has been in the most geek franchises of practically anyone.
That's true. Who can
and
forget the Chronicles of Riddick?
Most of them have been good. Okay. You didn't have to pick that one, but most of them have been good.
Has he been in a DC movie yet?
He has, I believe.
Okay.
Can't remember which one. He's been in, obviously, Star Trek.
I believe
he's been in a Star War, not one of the films, I think. He's obviously been in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Quite a hard one to get.
Yeah.
He's been in Marvel.
He has been in Marvel.
And there are some other ones. And then the stuff like The Boys and things.
Yeah,
like
The Boys, Doom.
Bourne, Dredd, of course. Judge Dredd.
Yes, he is right. Judge Dredd. He is my Dredd.
Yeah. He's great, Carl Urban. So, yeah. That looks good, but I would say Helen's going to obviously wang on about The Devil Wears Prada 2 in a second, and so am I. But I think the big film of that month is undoubtedly the first live-action Star Wars movie since Star Wars The Last Jedi in 2017. Good movie. I don't think they released anything else after that.
No,
they decided to take a break.
Stopped.
Yeah.
And it's been a while, obviously, since The Rise of Skywalker. And now... It came out... The fan film. 2019, that movie came out. The Mandalorian and Grogu since then have dominated the Star Wars landscape on the small screen on Disney Plus. And now, thanks to our old friend, John Favreau, they are going to be on the big screen.
What?
In The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yeah. So essentially, it's a very short season 4 of The Mandalorian.
Or a very long episode.
Yeah. One of those.
And
choose your
like
poison.
A pumped up, really good, exciting, fun time at the movies.
It's I am wildly excited about this, especially since they seem to have ditched the almost interminable Mandalorian mythology that slightly slowed down season 3 of The Mandalorian. And this just looks like a rollicking romp, an old school pulpy Saturday morning matinee thing.
Yeah.
Just with Pedro Pascal, who was on set every single day
in the
armor, sweating, working hard, under that armor, emoting, the body language. Only Pedro Pascal can bring that particular body language to that particular character at that particular moment. And then, of course, some bloke with his hand up a puppet as Grogu.
Disrespectful.
No, Grogu plays himself. We all know that.
Yes, obviously.
Grogu plays himself. Baby Yoda is in this movie. This could be just this sort of early summer, unabashed, unashamed slice of leave your brain at the door fun that we all need. This could, James, I put it to you because I know you're a bit of a Star Wars skeptic these days. You're a little bit of a Palpatine when it comes to Star Wars these days. I think this is going to rekindle your love of the wars.
I hope so. Between this and Star Wars Starfighter, there is certainly hope and, you know.
A new hope.
Right, that's right. Boy. Maybe this is the spark.
That lights the fire that burns the first order
to the ground. Yeah, indeed. I hope so. I must admit, like, I was skeptical about this film. I'm still skeptical about this film. But as soon as we heard the dum-dum, I got chills a little bit.
Oh, my God.
This is the way. I think partly because it's been such a long time since we've had The Mandalorian, and it's been even longer since we've had good Mandalorian. So, yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic.
And it has Sigourney Weaver in it.
Yeah.
Come on.
It does, and that is exciting. And look, there's loads of fun stuff in the trailer. Like, best case, it like feels like a different flavour of Star Wars movie, something slightly different, which borrows a lot from the TV show, the stuff we love about the TV show. You know, worst case, genuinely worst case, it's a long, particularly big budgets and probably very impressive episode of the TV show, which, you know, even if it's maybe not what we want, it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
So
some of my favorite episodes of that show are just Mandalorian and Grogu
just hanging out.
Yeah, Din Djarin and
eating,
Grogu just fucking around,
frogspawn,
flying around, killing things. Yeah. Great fun. Great fun. But is it going to be as great fun, Hell's Bells, as The Devil Wears Prada 2?
I hope that's going to be awesome. I mean,
have you read the book? The book that it's based on, the second book.
No.
Is there a book it's based on?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was.
I thought that the first book was drivel. The first book is terrible.
Who wrote this? Dinar Kuntz? Yeah.
It's one of the great examples for me of a shit book being the basis for a good film. You know, the film can be better than the book was.
Well, can this be better than Revenge Wears Prada, The Devil Returns? Who knows?
Oh, boy. Yeah, but I think it's going to be interesting to see Miranda Priestley. That is the
Meryl Streep
character.
Yes,
in a more modern chief
of Runway Magazine.
Yeah, what does that look like in a more modern environment? You know, admittedly, she's operating at a different level from us, so I imagine expense accounts still exist. You know, for her,
she just spends a day doing podcasts. You know, it's true.
but I think, you know, the idea of bringing that up to date and bringing her into contact with new media and stuff is kind of a cool one. And she's just a lot of fun, that character, and I'm excited to see them all back. So. Yeah, could be cool.
How are they going
to
work it out now that Emily Blunt's a much bigger star than she was when they made the first one?
She is now married to a billionaire in this scenario, right? So she's now potentially like kind of the baddie.
Art is imitating the lie.
I don't know if she's the baddie, but she is a baddie.
She can't be a baddie.
No, a baddie in the sense of like she's a baddie, like she's cool.
Is that
it's
how the kids are talking?
Say, I think.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure?
I may not know Rocky's name, but I'm pretty sure of that.
I'm not convinced.
No, I'm not convinced either. okay, could be good. Could be great. Could be great. Every movie could be great.
Every day is Christmas Eve.
Even the shit ones. Luckily, there are no shit movies planned for release in 2026.
Hurrah.
Because every day is Christmas Eve, except it's not.
It's January New
Year's.
2nd.
Yeah. It's New Year's Day after. That's what it is. I'm coining that.
Are you okay?
Yeah. It's New Year's Day after. That's what
it's New Year's Day plus one.
New Year's Day after.
Wow. You, a TV person, should be embracing the concept of plus one, right?
New Year's Day plus.
Yeah.
The premium streaming service.
All right, let's move into June.
June.
Except that's not until December.
That's December. But actually,
June isn't until December. That's confusing.
Sad but true.
UFO movie by Steven Spielberg.
Give us full disclosure, Helen.
Helen has not grasped the concept of me reading out the names of the films in the months yet.
I think Helen is bringing a delightful note of anarchy to this. Go for it, Helen. Take it away.
Somebody has to. You guys are so boring.
We're so rigid. We stick to the rules.
Helen's a maverick. She won't be contained.
Yeah. No, look, I'm excited about several films in June, but
June!
There we go. But there is an untitled Steven Spielberg film about UFOs, we're pretty sure.
Untitled? Helen, don't you mean Disclosure Day, which is the name of the film? We know that because of the trailer that definitely didn't come out after this podcast was recorded.
It has, again, Emily Blunt. It has Colin Firth. It has Josh O'Frickin' Connor. It has Coleman Domingo. It has Wyatt Russell. Come on.
Yeah.
It's got a script by David Koepp.
GTF out of here.
That's right.
GTF UFO.
Steven Spielberg is the GOAT, but obviously GOAT was actually out in February. But, was it January? I don't even remember. But suffice it to say, Steven Spielberg, even though he made West Side Story, is still a filmmaker I love and respect. And I am looking forward to seeing what he does in the world of sci-fi. If anyone sings, I'm fucking leaving. But as long as they don't, we're on.
I'm just excited. Steven Spielberg, to my knowledge, has never made a film involving UFOs before. So
it could be
a real close encounter, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe
or a crystal skull.
It could be of the first or second or maybe even the third kind.
It's going to be exciting to see him tackle extraterrestrials, that's for sure.
I hope it is good. Could be great.
Yeah.
Loads of reasons to be excited by this, and it's a return of Spielberg in a genre that he does better than anybody else. Yes, please.
Yes, please.
I think that's the safe opinion on that one. Mm. What's the safe opinion on Masters of the Universe?
By the power of Grayskull.
I am the power.
You know what?
I have the power.
Is it? I always thought it was I am the power.
No,
you may
the power.
Be the power.
No wonder I was shunned at school.
He has the power.
Yeah.
Here's the case for the defense, or the boosters, I guess, of this movie. We've always said, right, if you're going to remake something or readapt in this case, you should readapt the things that have not already been nailed.
Agreed.
I think it's fair to say, even people skeptical of the original Master of the Universe cartoon series / toy line would say that the original film is a big pile of shit. So surely that's exactly the kind of thing that we should be getting behind and supporting.
Also Travis Knight, which is exciting.
Travis Knight is a good filmmaker.
Travis Knight's directing this?
Travis Knight's directing this.
Let me just swivel my chair around in excitement. Hang on.
He's taking...
Wowzers!
Oh, you bumped
you
the
hit
mic.
The microphone.
Well, that was seamless.
Yeah.
I'll just adjust this. Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that gives me hope that he might. You know what? I think that's a really good way of looking at it. Like, this has been done badly. That doesn't mean it can't be done well.
Yeah. So it's not challenging Steven Spielberg for my top one of the month, but I am.
It's
I
a
am
curiosity,
hopeful.
And I'm curious.
Mm.
Yes, indeed. Wow, well done, Travis Knight. Fantastic. Toy Story 5 is also out in
it is.
June.
Yeah, look. There's a great deal of affection for this franchise that's understandable. I don't feel there should have been a Toy Story 4, so I definitely don't feel there should be a Toy Story 5. Also, the premise for this, the idea that... Well, first of all, the existence of this film undoes the end of Toy Story 4, but the idea that toys are now obsolete and it's all about AI and tablets and stuff like that, I get that's kind of an obvious next step for this, but it also feels a bit... And again, the film may be really good, but in my head, that as a concept feels a little bit creatively lacking. And... also a little bit grim and depressing. So I'm not feeling this one.
I think the grim and depressing bit is the bit to worry about here. I think the, look, it's Andrew Stanton back at Pixar. That's exciting. He's an incredible filmmaker. I just hope they can tread the line between breaking our hearts and you know, making us fall in love with the characters again. I also didn't love Toy Story 4, even though Keanu's in it.
Well, not many people did,
I think. But 3 was so good. Three's one of the best incredible films of the 21st century.
There is an argument to be made now, in hindsight, given everything we now know about this franchise, that they should have gone into that furnace.
No, you're a monster.
I'm saying it. They should have gone into it. They should have died, and then we would have been spared Toy Story 4.
No, bad person. Go away. No.
But
stop.
Forky would still be alive.
I mean, that's some consolation, but also, again, I say...
Forky's still alive?
Yeah, because Forky wasn't in Toy Story 3, so Forky would still have been alive, but they would have all died.
Oh, right, I see.
Okay.
No, bad man.
But as you say, Andrew Stanton. Yes, exciting. One other film in June.
June!
Supergirl. It's just called Supergirl now. On the FDA list, it still says Woman of Tomorrow, but that has been nixed. It's now just Supergirl. Who is this?
Excited.
I'm glad someone is. Who is this, a Supergirl?
Oh my goodness. This is Millie Alcock, who is a fantastic, fantastic actress. She was brilliant in House of the Dragon.
Agreed.
I like this. I've read the comic on which this is based.
Okay.
Right? So the idea is Supergirl was sent to protect her baby cousin, but due to, you know, space and shit, she lands after he's already grown up. So then she's a bit like, well, what the fuck do I do now? They've already got Superman. I'm a bit obsolete here. And so we find her, I think, at a low ebb, being a bit like, well, what have I got? You know, what's my job here? And she turns 21 in this movie and decides to go to a planet with a red sun via spaceship so she can get drunk and celebrate her birthday. And on that planet, a series of unfortunate events occurs and she has to go on a journey with a younger girl who needs some help to do a thing, and she has to go and help her do a thing. That's basically the comic book anyway. I think they're adapting it more closely than, say, the Marvel studio, you know, comic book-based films. And it's a really good story. It's a really good character piece. It's, you know, again, under the auspices of James Gunn, but this is
Craig Gillespie
directing. Anna Nogueira did the script. I think it's going to be fun.
From what you say, it sounds like it has an anarchic energy to it, which I quite like. Because one of the things that there are many things I didn't love about Superman, as you know. But one of the things I didn't like about that wretched film was the fact that I think I wanted it to be more serious than it was. And I think it had a silliness to it that I didn't like. This, I think, maybe leans into that silliness. And I think maybe it will feel more organic for me, for my personal taste. So, and while I didn't think Millie Alcock's introduction in Superman was spectacular, I'm willing to give her the benefit of the doubt for all the reasons you said, because she's fantastic. So, I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
Anarchy!
It is, you will not be surprised to know, not the superhero film I'm most looking forward in the summer months. Let's go into July, shall
big
we, folks?
Month,
so
month.
There is a lot of stuff out in July. There's Minions
make 3. Make way.
There is the live action version of Moana. There is the Odyssey. There is Evil Dead Burn. There's Paw Patrol 3 and Spider-Man. Brand New Day. Nuff said, true believers. I don't know where I am. Nuff said, true believers.
Are you more excited about Spider-Man or The Odyssey?
Ooh. I'm more excited by The Odyssey just because I have not seen that.
It's going to be a Homer run.
It is going to be. I would imagine it will be a Homer run. Yes. No, but I like genuinely, we haven't seen that. You know, even when they did Troy, they took all the gods and monsters and stuff.
Gods and monsters.
They took the gods out of Troy, right? And Troy is more fun. The Siege of Troy is more fun if you have the gods, you know, sprinkling a little of anarchy around it. And I feel like this is going to be like anarchy to the max. So I'm excited by that.
Anarchy.
I think the sheer scale of it and the sprawlingness and that incredible cast are all good things to be looking out for.
Well, it's a good month to be a Tom Holland fan indeed a Zendaya fan as well. It's exciting. It's very hard to not be excited about Chris Nolan doing Troy Story for all the reasons that Helen just said.
John Bernthal's in both of them as well.
John Bernthal, my fucking
These are
God,
basically the same movie.
Were they filming at the same time? This is wild.
He does play the Punisher in both.
True. Yeah. So the Odyssey is obviously going to be incredible and epic and will melt your eyeballs off. Yeah. And yes.
Or
yes,
eyeball if you're a...
Right, that's good. If you're Cyclops, yeah.
Cyclops, he's not in either of these films,
I don't
believe.
But this will be Helen's pick because he's of Doomsday. Troy.
That's me, yeah. Who wouldn't be excited about the Odyssey? Nobody. That's who. It's a Homer joke for you there.
Good. Yeah. Joke! That's another Homer joke. Yeah, very excited about that. What about Moana? Anyone excited about Moana?
Look, the girl playing Moana looks lovely and seems to have got the right, you know, vibe to it. I'm interested that they kept Maui essentially out of the trailer that we've seen at this point.
I really want to see. I wanted to get an eyeful of Maui and didn't.
I beg your pardon.
No, I wasn't objectifying him. Just saying.
Sounds like you were.
I just want to see him in his giant hoop.
It just feels very soon after the.
Well, that's it. Is this one that could this be good? Yes, absolutely. But it's also, you know, redundant.
Yeah, a little.
Make
it feels
way.
A little bit.
Make way.
But look, you know, the original Moana is fantastic. Yeah. So
would you recommend
that magic again?
I watched the original Moana before I seen this.
You've never seen Moana?
Nope.
You fool.
You've listened to the soundtrack though.
Nope.
Oh, so many bangers. It's really good.
I doubt very heavily that it's better than Moana 2, and the soundtrack of that is wall-to-wall bangers. Can I get a chee-hoo? Can I?
No. No, how far will you go, I guess?
Yeah.
See Moana, you fool.
I mean, it is on Disney Plus.
Yeah, it really doesn't have to. You don't
know,
have to go far.
But yeah.
It's so good.
All right. Evil Dead Burn.
Ah.
Ooh, Burn.
Yeah.
Excited.
Yeah.
And also a little terrified, I'll be honest. I'm still just getting over the last one.
What kitchen implements will be deployed to ill effect here?
No.
Who knows?
I know nothing about this movie. I don't know what the scale is. I don't know what the story is. Welcome to the preview podcast.
And we bring you all the key information.
But yeah, it's not Lee Cronin. Obviously, it's not Sam Raimi. It's not Fede Alvarez. It's Sebastian Fanacek. Hey, Helen, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. Potentially fit director?
Oh, let's see.
Oh,
please stop objectifying filmmakers on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. He's got a Travis Kelce thing going on, I guess.
Kelce.
Is that a secret of the Kelce?
I only see it written down. I don't know what it sounds like.
Oh, my goodness.
Helen.
How do you pronounce it, James?
Helen, it's Travis Kelce.
Yes, everyone knows that, Helen.
Everybody knows that.
Everyone knows
that. He's the first gentleman of the United States.
Well, he would be at this point, I suppose. Yeah,
that was a real Hail Mary pass from Helen, or she attempting to pronounce it. We've all done it. We've all been there. No, I was about to finish. I hadn't finished the words. I hadn't finished the fucking words. Think about this podcast. Oh. God damn it! You can't get through a sentence without someone leaping on you. Happy 2026, everybody.
Hooray! God bless us, everyone.
You know, sometimes you got to pronunciate a word. And you've never attempted it before, and you think in your head, it's pronunciate. And it turns out to be pronounced.
It turns out.
You know?
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, Sebastian Fanacek, he certainly looks the part, if you know what I mean. And yeah, hopefully Evil Dead Burn will be good.
He says he wants to make a nasty movie, a movie that hurts.
I loved Evil Dead Rise. I thought it was terrific. Right. Too many people are taking a cue from The Evil Dead, and not enough people are taking a cue from Evil Dead 2, the greatest movie of all time, when making their Evil Dead follow-ups. Evil Dead 2 was not a... well, it kind of was. But it also... I mean, it had a bit where a man literally chainsaws off his own hand. Yeah. But it's also fun, light, and escapist. So I would like to see that from one of my Evil Dead films.
Sure.
These days. Maybe not going quite so far as Army of Darkness, Jimbo, but...
Yes, the greatest Evil Dead film.
God.
Shop smart, shop air smart.
You know not of which you speak. But I'm excited about that. But the big film out in July, honestly, I can't call it. Box office-wise, I can't call it. Will Spider-Man Brand New Day be the film of the summer? It's probably going to be fucking Minions 3, but...
I mean, yeah.
Or Moana.
It probably is going to be Minions 3.
Which is bigger? Is it going to be Spider-Man 3 or 4? Is it going to be Spider-Man Brand New Day or The Odyssey? I'm going to say Spider-Man Brand New Day.
I mean, look, this man made $900 million for a biopic about a scientist.
He did. Who saw that coming?
He's now making a story known around the world that has endured for 3,000 years I think it's got at least a chance.
Yeah,
I think it'll do very well.
Big wooden horse as well.
This has got Spider-Man, the Hulk, and the Punisher, Helen. I don't understand.
Spider-Man and the Punisher are also in the Odyssey.
Yes, but they're not as Spider-Man and the Punisher.
Audiences might be bored of them by then.
Who is going to be... How could you possibly be bored of my birthday bro, John Bernthal?
Actually, that wouldn't happen.
No, it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. All right, so Spider-Man Brand New Day is the fourth Spider-Man movie, but it's the first in the MCU to not have John Watts in the director's chair. And again, very little is known about this. We're told it's a... kind of lo-fi version of Spider-Man. It's not going to be as multiversy or huge in terms of the scope and the scale of the thing as No Way Home. But at the same time, it's very exciting. Destin Daniel Cretton, who did such a great job on Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, was, of course, at one point going to direct what is now Avengers Doomsday. And he has directed this instead. John Bernthal, Mark Ruffalo, Tom Holland, Zendaya, Sadie Sink as a character who has been wildly speculated about. Could be anything from a multiversal version of MJ, could be Gwen Stacy, could be Jean Grey. A lot of people saying Jean Grey. Could be someone completely different. Again, we're not so hot on the information here in this one, but I'm excited.
I am too. I love the tone of those films. I delight in a new Spider-Man. And obviously, where we last left old Peter Parker, he was in a bit of a predicament. Peter Parker picks a predicament.
Yes, everyone had forgotten Peter Parker.
Indeed, and we all know how that feels.
Oh. Hopefully the world won't have forgotten Peter Parker.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
And they will flock to this movie in their trillions when it comes out July 31st. I think, I hope it's going to be amazing. Spectacular. Sensational. Web of. Okay. August. We are fewer and fewer films are in the release schedule when it comes to August now. Cliffhanger, the aforementioned Cliffhanger, is out on the 28th of August in this country. There's another Insidious coming out.
Yes, Thread. An Insidious Tale.
Yes.
Starring Mandy Moore.
Really?
I thought you meant Mel and Joni.
I got really excited there because I thought you meant Mandy Patinkin.
Yes, Mandy Patinkin.
I got really, really, really excited. There's a film called Flowerfell Street, which stars Anne Hathaway, Ewan McGregor.
And produced by J.J. Abrams.
Well, there you go. Mm. I did not know that. James, you're well ahead of me. Do you want to do this? Because
sure.
I know nothing about it.
Well, there's Paw Patrol, the dino movie, which is also coming out. Who
now
can
you're
forget?
Talking. Now you're talking.
I'm okay without that one.
Rubble really? On the double. Chase is on the case.
Oh, boy. No, like the Bluey movie, which was earlier in the year, I'm all in. But Paw Patrol, no.
I think you're fine. There's Rubble at the double.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, it does. That's what you said.
Rubble at the double.
The phrase is at the double, not on the double.
At the double.
At the double. Yeah.
We're all learning a lot today, aren't we?
Yeah.
I've never heard this. At the double.
That's because you're an idiot.
I would have said on the double.
On the double.
It's at the double.
Helen, that's Helen
it's
of Troy.
It's at the double.
It is absolutely on the double.
It's not at the double. It is I have the power, but it is at the double. Rubble at the double.
Yeah, but you don't do stuff at the double. You do stuff on the double.
Your ears are mispronunciating. really not much
Let's
more
double
to talk
up.
About.
Right, okay, that's it. That's the month. It's done. We're finished.
Yeah, that's pretty much it in August. This is what happens because, you know, when you do a preview in January of the entire year, there aren't a lot of films to
You're
talk about.
You're both right. On the double is the American variant and at the double is used by the British Army.
Is it?
Apparently
yes,
so.
I've never heard.
At the double.
I've never heard at the double in my life.
I would tend to on now. The double as well, actually.
I would go to at the double because this is Britain, for God's sake.
All right.
What would the Queen want?
I mean...
Well, she's dead.
What?
Hey,
when? September.
Anyway, September. And I think we can all agree the most exciting thing is Practical Magic. Too.
Practical Magic.
Yes, exactly. Jesus hey, you Christ. Say that, but this is Suzanne Beers directed this, and I've just rewatched the whole of the first season of The Night Manager, the second season of which dropped on New Year's Day.
Yay.
Or dropped yesterday as we go out, or started. And she's great. It's great. This may be... Who knows?
This is the sequel to Practical Magic, people. Yeah. If you're not excited about this, were you? Do you even do autumn?
Sandra Bullock.
Have you
Nicole
ever
Kidman.
Pumpkin spice?
Do you? Are you capable of discernment? Do you have any taste?
Hey, the first film is solid.
The first film is absolutely a movie that was released.
It was.
Look, it's not for you.
What do you mean it's not for me? It's got Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. It could not be much more for me than that.
I mean, that's
also fair. Griffin Dunne.
Yes, and your man and your other man and several other men. But that's not the point. It's also, it's a girly film, and the women love the world.
Don't you pigeonhole me. Don't you pigeonhole me, O'Hara. I'm excited about this too because of the aforementioned Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman, who I presume are in this film.
They are.
There we go.
See?
Hold my beer. I'm excited about
Suzanne
that one.
Beer.
Also out in September, Clayface.
Okay, I need someone to explain to me why I should be excited about Clayface. So I am not a DC head. I don't know who Clayface is. I don't know anything about. I assume it's a he. What is a Clayface?
Clayface.
Please pronunciate this for me.
Clayface is a Batman villain who essentially can change his appearance.
Right.
So his face is made of clay, essentially. So he
a little
can
bit sculpt
and mold it into. Mm. Yeah, like a shit Dr. Peyton Westlake. why you should be excited? Because this is a film that is directed by James Watkins,
yes,
who has got a fantastic track record. Mm-hmm. He's very, very good with horror. It is written by Mike Flanagan. I shouldn't even have to go on at this point.
That's enough. Yeah, that is enough.
This is a film that was not on James Gunn's slate in the DCU until Mike Flanagan came in and did a pitch that was so good that he decided to incorporate Clayface into the DCU before any other Batman characters have been incorporated into the DCU.
That, to me, is what to be excited about.
Yes.
Because there's no rational reason to do this unless it's a banger. So that's why I'm excited about Clayface.
Certified banger.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like stamped, sealed,
like
delivered.
Superman was.
Superman is a good movie.
You sound like Ben.
Yeah, and he's right in this instance. you were unduly harsh, and you were out of step with the world.
Am I? Am I review? 2 stars?
Yes, wrong review.
Was it?
Yeah.
So, decent cast. Tom Rhys-Harris, who is an up-and-coming British actor, he's playing Clayface, who is a being made of clay, it says here on the Wikipedia entry. That's what I'm reduced to. I'm reading out Wikipedia entries. Naomi Aki is in this.
Great.
And Max Minghella and Eddie Marsan has been cast in an undisclosed role, but almost certainly would be a baddie. It's going to be, I'm hoping great. It's going to be smaller in scale, obviously, than most superhero movies. So yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Also yes to Shaun the Sheep.
Yes.
The Beast of Mossy Bottom. The third Shaun the Sheep movie. The first two are genius. Yes,
correct.
I said it. Genius.
Yes.
This could be, and I didn't think this would be a crowded marketplace, but it is. This could be the best sheep-related film of the year.
Whoa. Steady on.
I'm saying it.
I'm saying Sheep Detectives will have it.
I don't know, but like, okay, if the Beast of Soggy Bottom, right?
That's Mossy Bottom.
Mossy Bottom, sorry. Mm.
Soggy Bottom.
Not the Soggy Bottom
Although
boys.
The same month, we'll see the return of Bake Off, so I'm half right. But the, you know, it recalls, doesn't it, Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
It does, Helen. It does.
Which is the best Wallace and Gromit full-length film.
It's
full-length film. So
definitely one of them.
Artfully done.
So I think that is also a good sign. I'm hyped. I'm here for it.
I'm hyped.
I'm also interested in Sense and Sensibility, which
is September.
Of course
you are.
Of course I am.
It is a truth universally acknowledged. That is the only Jane Austen quote I know.
Oh, that's Pride and Prejudice, though.
I know.
Yes, it is. Yes. But this is George Oakley, who did, was it Jean, a couple of years ago, and is now directing Daisy Edgar-Jones, Esme Creed-Miles, Katrina Balfe, Frank Delane, and other good people. Fiona Shaw's in it, in a new adaptation of Sense and Sensibility. Now, obviously, at the time we record this, the Ang Lee remains an untouchable masterpiece that only a fool would try to remake. But let's hope they have something to add to the conversation.
But they're not remaking it, Helen. They're readapting the book.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying I'm hoping they can add to the conversation.
The Conversation is a completely different film. Came out years ago. Gene Hackman, he was bugging some people, then he got bugged himself, then he went a bit mad, and he tore his apartment about looking for a bug, couldn't find it.
And then he sat there playing the saxophone.
Playing the saxophone, sadly.
Saxophone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Saxophone.
Yeah, but we don't kink shame people for their sax life, do we? Resident Evil.
Resident Evil.
Zach Cregger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa! How, what? Did you just go meh at Zach Cregger?
No, I went meh at Resident Evil.
But did you not hear the Zach Cregger part?
Well, I suppose that's something.
There we go. Yeah. All right.
His involvement gives me hope. That obviously that IP has seen better days.
No, I would argue on the big screen it hasn't seen any good days.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to argue with.
You know, I like parts of the Paul W.S. Anderson, mostly Paul W.S. Anderson movies.
I liked heavily in quotes, the first one. I enjoyed the first one.
I liked the cast of the recent remake, but the film itself was not great.
Hey, Zach Cregger knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm. Okay. October.
Yeah.
We've got October, November, December. We've got 3 months left.
We can do it. Okay. We can do it.
Are we going to start with the film of the month, Street Fighter? Which I know nothing about beyond it's another adaptation of Street Fighter, which was not crying out for a first adaptation, let alone a second one, but here we are.
Here we are indeed.
Again, are we in it can't go worse territory?
Well, maybe we are, or maybe it just should never.
Isn't the first one famously one of the worst movies ever made?
So can't go worse.
With Kylie and Jean-Claude.
I know we're going to talk about The Social Reckoning in a second, but can we talk about Whalefall for a
second
first?
Social Reckoning.
Do you know about Whalefall?
No.
So Whalefall is about a guy who gets swallowed by a sperm whale. Stop it.
And I didn't do anything. How dare you?
Okay.
I can hear the word sperm without snickering like a schoolboy. Try it again.
Whalefall. About What's a guy about? Who gets swallowed by a sperm whale. There we are.
Swallowed.
Oh, boy. It's based on a book. It has this guy who is trying to figure out his way out of a whale. So it's kind of like, what if The Martian, but Mars were a whale? You know?
He's going to have to science the shit out of this.
He's going to have to science the shit out of this. So I think there's going to be flashbacks to his life with his father, Josh Brolin. Good supporting cast, Elizabeth Shue, John Ortiz, Jane Levy, directed by Brian Duffield. He's good. Yeah, it's a weird book. It's very kind of philosophical, but also tells you a bit about whales, although not crucially as much as Moby Dick does, which gives you too much information about whales and still thinks they're fish. It's a really interesting premise.
He didn't have Wikipedia.
Look, the problem with this, I think, is going to be really bringing to life the sense of being inside a whale, because that is, you know, dark, constrictive, and not obviously cinematic.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see how they handle those sections. The flashbacks, I'm sure they can handle pretty well. But
I cannot wait for this. It's probably the film in October I am most excited for now, which is saying something, given that October also contains the latest Jordan Peele film. Although it might go back. I think I read somewhere that it might go back.
Okay, which was that?
And we know not the Jordan Peele film.
Oh, it just says Jordan Peele. Okay.
Yes. And of course, it has the return of Tom Cruise to the big screen in a film that might finally get him the acting Oscar. He received an honorary Oscar just a couple of weeks ago. This is his collaboration with Alejandro G. Iñárritu. And we know very little about this movie. It's untitled, called Digger. But this is apparently about the world's most powerful man. Now, that might be the president. It might be an Elon Musk-style trillionaire.
Or some kind of weirdo dancing around with a shovel.
Who triggers some sort of global catastrophe and has to race to either avert it or reverse it or just convince people that he's a good guy despite everything. So it's potentially an epic of epicness. It might be a very, very dark comedy. It might be a full-on drama, full-on thriller. But Cruise, this is the first time he's made a non-mission movie for a long, long time, or rather, this is the first time he's not made a Top Gun or a mission for a long, long time. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, me too.
You just have to see Iñárritu's speech about Cruise when he gave him the honorary Oscar a couple of weeks ago to see that these guys have clearly forged a great friendship, a great partnership. One of the greatest directors in the world. One of the greatest actors in the world.
Put your hands together.
I'm smelling money. I'm smelling little gold guys.
Well, let's hope. Exciting.
Yeah.
But they'll have competition that month because The Social Reckoning is one to reckon with, I think.
The Social Reckoning.
This is the sequel to, of course, to The Social Network. It's got Jeremy Strong in it.
Yeah.
It's looking like it's a runner.
And the other one. It's got both Jeremys. They're
really?
Both in it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Two yeah. Jeremys.
Yeah.
And that in never, this economy?
That never goes wrong. You cast Jeremy Allen White and Jeremy Strong in a movie together, you're on to a winner. I think we can all agree. It is a truth. James, it's a
universally acknowledged.
I'm honestly amazed. I think, are you holding your powder for Dune 3? Because you've been very quiet. Yeah, we're talking about an Aaron Sorkin film
directed by Aaron Sorkin. Yes, it is. I must admit, I'm a little bit, let's just say my opinions on Facebook are somewhat different now than they were when The Social Network came out. But it's an interesting point in their history. Like, it's all about when Frances Haugen did the kind of whistleblowing thing on what they did or didn't know about its effects on people's mental health. So it's an interesting story. I'm sure he'll tell it very, very well. I'm excited about it. Can I ask a question? And
you just did.
It was a question. But specifically, so The Cat in the Hat, the animated film The Cat in the Hat, is like a meteor heading inexorably towards us. I have never fully understood the appeal of Dr. Seuss. I find it chaotic and upsetting and a little bit like a fever dream.
I think it's meant to capture the anarchic spirit of the child.
Well, it definitely does something. But, you know, I watched the trailer for The Cat in the Hat. And all I'm going to say to you, Helen, is I would not, could not, in the rain, not in the dark, not on a train, not in a car, not in a train. I do not like it, Helen, you see.
Well, thanks for clarifying that. I'm not sure why I was the target, but
I now know why he's been quiet. He was Googling that.
I don't know what you mean.
Yes. This has got good people, but then sort of the last Cat in the Hat, and that was an atrocity of which we don't speak.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Hey.
Should we talk about Sunrise on the Reaping?
Should we? When's that out? Oh, we're into November. You've gone ahead.
Have I? Sorry.
You've gone ahead. Jesus Christ. We've got a structure to these things. Or at least we try. We try to have a structure to these things. Okay, November. The Cat in the Hat, as James already said. Ebenezer, A Christmas Carol.
Ebenezer's good.
But I think that's Ty West.
This is the Ty West one because Robert Eggers one isn't made yet,
is it? Not made yet. We have Ariana Grande and, Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro and Dustin Hoffman. I don't know, all these has-beens in Focker-in-Law.
Yeah.
The fourth in the Meet the Parents trilogy. And we have, of course, as James has already said, Hunger Games, The Sunrise on the Reaping. Sunrise on the Reaping.
Good trailer for this one.
Yeah, it is decent.
It looks kind of cool.
Sequel to the prequel.
Sequel to the prequel. Still haven't read it. I know I said I would a couple of weeks ago,
either.
But we'll get there. Christmas is coming up. Then I might have some free time. But it looks like a solid Hunger Games anyway. Focker-in-Law, honestly, genuinely excited to see Ariana Grande do something else because I think her performance in the Wicked movies is off the charts great as a sort of, you know, pop star turned actor. I think it is really absolutely up there with some of the old times. And so I'm interested to see what she does in a different role. Does she have the flexibility or was it just that Glinda was a perfect match for her, you know? So I'm genuinely really excited to see what she does next. Ebenezer, obviously I have a professional interest in every adaptation of A Christmas Carol as the host of Bah Humbug, but I can't say that this particular one is the most. I would rather see the Eggers one. I will see both, obviously, but that's, you know, it's. I'm sure it'll be interesting.
Well, this one, directed by Ty West, of course, has an interesting cast. I think that's fair to say. Mm-hmm. It has Ian McKellen.
Oh, yes.
If he's not the ghost of Jacob Marley, I will be amazed. Andrea Riseborough, Tramell Tillman. It has Johnny Depp in it as Ebenezer Scrooge, I believe. And this would be the biggest gig that Depp has been given for quite some time. Obviously, people have their opinions about Johnny Depp and his off-screen activities, and I think a lot of people would be unhappy to see Johnny Depp back in the big screen again, but as we've always said, your mileage may vary. Should we get into December, where all the good stuff is?
Yeah, let's.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
All right, so December, we have A Violent Night 2, we have Jumanji.
Yes!
It says Jumanji 3, but it's technically Jumanji 4. We have
Here we go.
Oh, God.
It's the greatest Christmas present in history.
It's the most wonderful time.
I mean, it is. Father Christmas will come down the chimney riding on a sandworm to deliver Dune Part 3.
This is, well...
the greatest film of 2026.
I mean, is it though?
Yes,
is
it is.
Though?
Yes.
At the moment, it's not, weirdly enough, on the boxofficemojo.com release schedule, but it is meant to be out on the same day, Part 3, Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 3, as...
Avengers Doomsday.
Avengers Doomsday.
That's quite the double header, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, obviously, it gets dubbed Doomsday.
Why?
Because, in the Barbenheimer sort of fashion.
Yeah. What do you mean?
What?
I don't understand.
Oh, well, don't worry about it.
Okay.
But surely one of them blinks.
If I'm Dune Part 3, I'm moving the fuck away from Doomsday.
Any self-respecting nerd wants to see both.
Absolutely. And if I can pack both into a day, because they're both going to be long films, I would pack them both into a day. But here's what's going to happen. Doomsday is going to be huge. Dune Part 3 is going to be as big as the previous Dune movies, which was very big, but not huge, which is why Dune Part 3 should move. It shouldn't put itself in that position.
Shai Hulud moves for no man.
No, but I don't think cinema wins by having them both on one day.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like, with Barbenheimer, there was an element of classic sort of counter-programming. Yeah. This is not counter-programming.
No,
this is
not.
Just two studios being shit.
They even sound the same.
Yeah.
Dune's Day.
There'll be a lot of cross-pollination. People will buy tickets accidentally for one of the movies and be halfway through before going... Robert Downey Jr. has not been in this movie so far unless he's really good at being a sandworm. Are there sandworms in Dune Part 3, by the way?
Does a lot of it take place on
Dune itself?
Well, he's now the Padishah Empress. I think it's 12 years after Dune Part 2.
Okay.
So, yeah, some stuff has happened. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Okay. Listen, the other thing about Barbenheimer, of course, it was a complete accident.
Yes.
And those movies were scheduled against each other, they were not... Neither Warner Brothers nor Universal expected either of them to do what they did at the box office, and certainly neither of them. You know, I think only Oppenheimer was expected to go into the Oscar race. I think if anyone says otherwise, that's 2020 hindsight. I think that those movies were meant to do okay.
Excuse me. I think if you look back, you will find me predicting that Barbie would make a billion.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's play the tape.
Okay.
Here we go.
Barbie will make $1 billion.
Fuck's sake. She's right. She's right. I fucking played the tape.
Yeah.
I played the tape.
Yeah. I mean, we were both kind of prognosticating because I said that the Taylor Swift Eras Tour would also make $1 billion. And I was just as correct as Helen.
It's so weird, though. Now I think about it, I think I remember a similar prediction from me. Here's a tape I'm going to play from, this is a podcast from, I think it was probably 2023.
Okay.
We're going to play it right now.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, Helen, yeah, that's a really, really interesting opinion. But I don't know. I think Oppenheimer is going to do better than you think. I think it's going to make probably $975,811,333 at the global box office and probably win a whole bunch of Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor.
Wow, that's uncanny, isn't it?
I fucking nailed it.
That's incredible.
That's so wild.
Wow.
So wild. Okay, but my if you look at Dune... He hasn't done it. If you look at Dune, the box office history of Dune, those movies are kind of around the $500 to $600 to $700 million mark. And the Avengers movies, even though I don't think that Doomsday is going to do what Infinity War and Endgame did.
Yeah, the build-up has not been quite the same.
The build-up hasn't been the same. The bloom's come off the rose a little bit. We've talked ad nauseum and
Doom's
at length.
Come off the rose.
about Marvel's travails of late. But I still think that this movie is going to be well over a billion, getting maybe close to 2 billion. It depends on the quality of the movie, of course. If it comes out and is absolutely incredible and it's Infinity War level good and Endgame level good, then all bets are off. Genuinely, all bets are off. But those two are not the same. Like, even a bad day for Doomsday is going to be coming in at 1.2, 1.3 billion. Dune Part 3, I don't think is going to get close to a billion.
So that's why I think. Good day could be close to a billion.
Maybe, but that's why I think.
Not if they're against each other.
Yeah, they shouldn't be cannibalizing each other. Yeah. There's plenty of room in December.
I mean,
probably the biggest film of all, Jumanji 3, by the time the dust settles.
They'll both be on Netflix by that point anyway, so what difference does it make?
And so, Liz, this will be on Netflix as well, and you can watch us, but played by much more photogenic people. We'll be recast. I will be Noah Centineo. Helen, you'll be Emily Blunt.
I'll take it.
James.
Karen Gillan.
So,
shaving her head again.
That's exciting. How excited are you really, though, about the quality of Dune Part 3?
Extremely excited. It's a different proposition, because Dune Part 2 is just the second half of the main Dune novel. And that is, I think, the strongest of the Dune books. Okay. I think Dune Messiah, which is a much shorter book, it's a slightly different pace. It's almost like a deliberate retcon. This is Frank Herbert going back, and he's like, oh yeah, you guys all thought Paul Atreides was the hero of this story. That's not what I meant at all. Actually, this is what I was trying to say. So it's a slight sort of different spin on what that character is. Children of Dune, the one that comes afterwards, which Denis is very sensibly not adapting, is mad and has a person made of sand trout. So best avoided. And they get progressively more batshit after that.
I see that so badly.
But look, this is, I want more of this. I think this is the Paul Atreides story. This film or this book, this story does end out the Paul Atreides saga. And so it's a good place to end it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Paul Supreme, Helen.
Paul Supreme, yes. Finishing this year, finishing next year, what a way to go.
And then Timmy Toomey to go straight into Wonka 2, right? I mean, that's what he's got to do next.
Wonka 2 is actually what my small niece and nephew call Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Just fun fact for you there.
The fuck?
Well, because they saw Wonka first, and so when they actually saw Gene Wilder, they're like, this must be Wonka 2.
You are failing as an aunt.
I think they're doing
failing.
Well. They have seen Gene Wilder. I think I'm doing pretty well, actually.
Okay. I'm excited about Dune Part 3.
Yay.
Loved the first one. Wasn't as hot on the second one, but it's still very, very
incredible
good.
Film, though.
Very, very good.
It's
some
wonderful.
Amazing pieces of filmmaking.
Transcendental.
This has got R. Patz in it, Anya Taylor-Joy. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. But is it Doomsday? Is Doomsday the big one?
I mean, it is like literally the big one in the sense that it has all of the people in it. I think every single person who we've mentioned so far starring in a film in 2026 is also going to be in Doomsday. Like it is an epic of insanely epic proportions.
Epicness. But Dune Part 3, I think to an extent, like I say, slightly different from Dune and Dune Part 2, but we, broadly speaking, I think know what we're going to get. Like, we know what the story is. Obviously, we've read the books, and we know what Denis Villeneuve is capable of. So that's a kind of, I would say, that's a known quantity. Doomsday could be absolutely anything. Like, it could be a five-star masterpiece.
Yeah.
It could be a car crash. I have absolutely no idea
where this
is going to land. As you said, like, I think the Marvel fatigue is real among audiences. But will they come back for this? Because it feels like a cultural event. Like, it might
be. Yeah, we talked about the fact that the build-up isn't what it was before
Infinity War,
where you're rolling in from Ragnarok to Black Panther, and then suddenly Infinity War, and Infinity War blows you away, then Ant-Man and the Wasp somehow elevates it. And Endgame becomes one of the greatest cultural phenomenons I've ever been part of.
Agreed.
It was just staggering. And now the MCU is wobbling a little. It's been holed below the waterline. And, you know, depending on your point of view, you could say this is an act of genius bringing back Robert Downey Jr. by casting him as the bad guy, or an act of desperation. Also, the Russo brothers coming back as well. There's lots of reasons why I'm nervous about this, but there are also lots and lots of reasons why I'm excited about it. And I don't know anything about the storyline. There are numerous pieces of speculation out there about how Doctor Doom comes into the world of the MCU and starts wreaking havoc. There are rumors of warring Avengers teams. We know there are going to be different Avengers teams in this. There's the new Avengers, there's Sam Wilson's Avengers, and that one of them might be fighting with Doom, and one of them might be fighting against Doom and his team. Then there's obviously the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, played by the likes of Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen and James Marsden and Rebecca Romijn and Alan Cumming. I mean, it could be absolutely all over the place.
Yeah.
But in the Russos, I trust. In Steve McFeely, I trust, who is writing this, along with Michael Waldron. And in RDJ, I trust. And I am excited about what he's going to do with Doom. I still think that he's going to be mo-capping the shit out of this. I may be completely and utterly wrong about that, but yeah, this could be a big one. It needs to be a big one.
Well, I was going to say, it feels like the amount riding on this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I feel if this crashes and burns, then that feels like a bit of a...
I don't think it'll crash
and
burn.
No pressure, Marvel, if you're listening. Yeah. Just everything's going to be fine.
Right.
Just, you know, trust in your story and... Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope that they take risks. I hope they swing for the fences. I hope it's stuff
and I hope it
before.
Lands. I hope it is magnificent.
And I hope Pacific also, is as blue as my dreams.
But, you know, to end that, I mean, if it's amazing to end on that and Dune, like in a year where, let's be honest, cinema has never felt more under siege. I know you're going to say Under Siege was quite a few years ago now, but its sequel, Dark Territory, was less good.
But 1 second. Actually, Under Siege 2, Dark Territory, is considered by some to be better than the original
Under
Siege. By
who? Steven Seagal?
Mainly, yes.
but genuinely, like, and I feel like these two films coming out so close together, if they are both spectacular, this is like, even Martin Scorsese will be sitting there going, this is fucking cinema.
If we can get that's honestly, we must be in a different universe. If Martin Scorsese can watch this film and go, absolute cinema, then
that's
yes.
what I want for Christmas 2026 is a little like TikTok video from Martin Scorsese.
I was wrong.
Going, I think
it's going to be a good year for the MCU. I really do. I think that this year, the one we're finishing, but the one we're pretending was last year, the one we're still in right now, I think that it was a solid year for the MCU, but obviously at the box office, it was less than solid. I think this is going to get bums back in seats, the combination of this and Spider-Man Brand New Day. And I still don't know what this film's going to be. And, you know, you said everyone's in it, but there are lots of people who haven't been announced.
Also true.
And are they going to be in this film? How is it going to lead it to Secret Wars? What the fuck is going on? We're going to find out. We're going to find out soon enough. In fact, I think, I suspect that there will be a teaser trailer for Avengers Doomsday at some point. And it may even be out. I may be completely wrong, but it may even be out by the time you're listening to this. And if it is, then we'll know a little bit more about what we're dealing with. But
for example, one of the teasers could reveal a return to the MCU of Chris Evans as Steve Rogers. How is that going to work? I'm just guessing at this point. I don't know, because again, the trailer definitely wasn't released after we recorded this podcast. Just an educated guess. That's all. Oh God.
But right now, I think we have to bring this to an end. This has been an epic of epic epicness, to quote ourselves several times, and of course the Scott Pilgrim tagline during this podcast. This has been a lot of fun, and hopefully we've got 2026, and indeed 1926, off to a great start. Thank you so much for listening to this, and of course it's time to say goodbye to my two colleagues of such lethal cunning. Merry New Year to you, James Dyer.
Merry New Year, Chris.
And Merry New Year to you as well, Helen O'Hara.
Merry New Year.
Yes, indeed. See you guys in exactly 7 days for our live show at King's Place.
Or in 3 days for the first Pilot TV podcast of 2026.
Well, this is the big one. It's like the Pilot TV podcast and episode 700 coming out within close proximity. It's the Avengers Doomsday podcast.
It
isn't
is indeed.
All right. It's goodbye from me as well. I'm off to prepare myself for the coming of Pilot Not Like That. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.